Well, good morning again, everybody. It's great to see you here. You know, last week we began, or we didn't begin last week, 2 weeks ago we began the Apostles' Creed. But last week we talked about this opening phrase, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And in saying that, we are reminded that God is both infinitely powerful and deeply personal, that he is the creator of the universe who, through Christ, calls us to the Father. And today, the Apostles' Creed, we make a turn to the very center of our Christian faith. We turn to that phrase that says, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Everything in Christianity rises and falls upon one simple question. Who is Jesus? Right? Not what did Jesus teach, not what kind of miracles did Jesus do, but who is Jesus? And this is a question that has been asked for over 2,000 years. There are some people in our world who will call Jesus a prophet. Others call him a revolutionary or a philosopher or a moral teacher. You know, C.S. Lewis argued that these types of options are not good enough. If Jesus said what the Gospels record, he can't simply be a good teacher. He is either who he claimed to be or he is not. You know, Jesus himself asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And I think that question today still echoes. And the Creed helps us to answer this question, who is Jesus, with three remarkable titles. Right, Jesus, Christ, and our Lord. Each reveals something essential about him, and each calls for a response from us. And so we're going to take a moment to unpack these together. You know, first of all, the Creed begins with the name Jesus. This was the name given to Jesus before he was born. You know, remember the angel telling Joseph in Matthew 1 that you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Right? The name Jesus literally means the Lord saves. Now think about that. Before Jesus ever preached a sermon, before Jesus ever healed a disease, his very name declared his mission. John begins his gospel in a way that stretches our imagination. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John doesn't begin in Bethlehem or the manger. He begins with creation itself. Right before the stars, before time, before the universe, the Word already existed. Jesus didn't begin at Christmas. He entered history. He entered our history on Christmas because Jesus is eternal. And John makes this incredible statement in John 1:14, which we heard read to us this morning, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That God did not remain distant. That God came near. That he walked our roads. That he experienced hunger and exhaustion. Jesus laughed with friends and he mourned at the graveside. Jesus suffered pain. He entered fully into humanity without surrendering his divinity. The incarnation, I believe, tells us something beautiful about God, that Jesus doesn't save from a distance, that our Savior has actually entered into our world. And whatever you're facing today, Jesus understands that if you've been rejected or if you are grieving or feel misunderstood, that Jesus understands. Christianity is unique because God didn't merely send instructions, that he sent himself. And then the second title in the creed about Jesus is this, it's Christ. Now, Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's his title. And that word Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah who was promised all throughout the Old Testament. Right? For centuries, Israel waited. For centuries, prophets spoke about a coming king, a coming Messiah that was to be from David's line, a suffering servant, a righteous ruler, a savior. Every promise pointed towards him. And Paul writes to us in Colossians about Jesus. He says that he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all of creation. I mean, if you want to know what God looks like, Paul says, look at Jesus. Right? When Jesus touches a leper, we see God's compassion. When Jesus forgives the sinners, we see God's mercy. When Jesus welcomes children, we see God's heart. When Jesus dies on the cross, we see God's love. You know, I've heard it over the years, people will say, I wish I knew what God was like. The answer is found in Jesus Christ, because he is the image, or the visible image, of the invisible God. You know, the Messiah that God's people had longed for centuries and centuries, had arrived. But he didn't arrive as the people were expecting. Right? The people of Israel wanted a political freedom. They wanted freedom from the invader Rome. But Jesus offered them freedom from sin. They wanted earthly power. They wanted restoration of the Davidic kingdom. But Jesus established and invited them to the kingdom of God. They were expecting a conquering king. And instead, what they received was a suffering savior. Because God's plan was greater than anyone could have ever have imagined. Because he's the Messiah. And then his third title, the final title, might be the most challenging. Because the creed says that Jesus is our Lord. And in the first century, this would have been a very dangerous confession. Right? The empire declared that Caesar was the Lord, that Caesar was God. But Christians declared that Jesus was God, was the Lord. I mean, that simple confession could cost them their jobs, it could cost them their freedom, it could cost them their lives. Because to call Jesus Lord meant that he alone deserved ultimate allegiance. And it still means that today. And many people are comfortable with calling Jesus Savior. Right? We rejoice that Jesus offers forgiveness and forgives our sins and offers us eternal life. But the New Testament never separates Savior from Lord. Right? The one who rescues us from our sin also rules us. Lord means that he has authority. Lord means that my life, your life, belongs to him. Lord means that I surrender my plans, my priorities, my ambitions, and my future to what he says. You know, we live in a culture today that celebrates autonomy. People want spirituality without surrender. They want inspiration without obedience. They want forgiveness without repentance. But this isn't what Jesus offered. He never offered that kind of discipleship. What Jesus did say was, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow after me. And notice the order in that. He's not asking us to simply admire him. He invites us to follow him. There's a big difference between being a fan of Jesus and being a disciple of Jesus. Right? Fans cheer, but disciples follow. Fans appreciate, but disciples obey. Fans admire his teaching, whereas disciples build their lives upon it. You know, simply put, the creed calls us beyond admiration into allegiance. You know, Paul paints one of the greatest pictures of Christ in all of scriptures. He writes that all things were created through him and for him, that he is before all things, that in him all things are held together. I mean, think about that. The same God the same Jesus who blessed children, who calmed storms and died on a cross, is the one through whom all of the galaxies were made. He is not one of the important figures among many. Right? Jesus is supreme. Everything exists because of him. Everything finds its purpose in him. Everything will ultimately be brought under his reign. And that should change our view of every part of life. Right? Your career is not ultimately about your success. It is about serving Christ. Your family is not ultimately about your happiness, but it is about reflecting Christ. Your money is not ultimately yours. It belongs to Christ. Your gifts are not for your glory. They are for Christ. When Jesus becomes Lord, every area of our lives needs to come under authority of him. Now, what if we saw holiness as a way of loving God with an undivided heart? A way of loving where there are no off-limit rooms in the house of our lives. Where we invite Jesus to be Lord of Sunday and Monday. Where we invite Jesus to be Lord of our worship and our work. Where we invite Jesus to be Lord of our public witness and our private character. The question is not whether Jesus is Lord. The question is whether I am living as though he is Lord of me. Right? Throughout the Gospels, people responded to Jesus in lots of different ways. Some people, when they encountered Jesus, they followed him. Some people, when they encountered Jesus, they opposed him. Some people were curious, but they never committed. And others walked away because the cost of following was simply too high. And nothing's changed. Every person in this room must answer the question that Jesus asked. Who do you say that I am? If you grew up in this church, not who your parents said, who do you say that Jesus is? If you've known more than one pastor, not what your pastor says, but who do you say that Jesus is? Not your spouse, but who do you say that Jesus is? Is Jesus simply an inspiring teacher? Or is Jesus your Lord? You know, in one of my most favorite moments or most memorable moments in John's gospel is in John chapter 6. Jesus had fed 5,000. People came out of the woodwork to receive. They came back the next day looking again. Jesus, are you going to feed us again? And Jesus basically tells them, I'm the bread of life. I'm for you. And then a lot of people leave because they decided that following Jesus was simply too difficult. And that's when Jesus turns to the 12 and he asks them, do you also want to go away? To which Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. You know, that is the confession of every Christian. To whom would we go? Where else could we go? Only Jesus forgives sin. Only Jesus conquered death. Only Jesus reveals the Father. Only Jesus is Lord. You know, the creed doesn't simply invite us to believe something about Jesus. It invites us to believe in Jesus, to trust Jesus, to follow Jesus, to surrender to Jesus. You know, this morning, perhaps some of us need to move beyond that simple admiration and move to obedience. Perhaps we've been comfortable to say that Jesus is my Savior, but have been reluctant to say that Jesus is my Lord. Maybe there are some areas of our lives that we have kept under our own control, where we've said, these are my finances, or my relationships, or my time, my future. Today, Jesus gently but firmly calls all of us to trust him with all of it. Because the one who calls you to follow him is also the one who first came searching for you. This morning, as we sing our closing song, if you'd like to come and kneel at the altar this morning, I invite you to do so. You know, maybe you want to begin a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you simply want to renew your relationship with Jesus today. Maybe you just want to come and kneel at the feet of your Savior. Whatever it is, I invite you to come. Listen to the Spirit who is whispering that. Come to me. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for you. We are grateful that Scripture and the Creed don't simply allow us to admire you, but it calls us to ask and answer the question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to me? And Lord, I pray that all of us would be able to answer with the assurance that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of all. That Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of me. Jesus, it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I invite you to stand as we sing our final hymn this morning. How awesome is it that we have this freedom to be able to proclaim loudly and boldly that I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. I pray that these words become more than something that we can simply recite, that these words become a daily confession of our lives. that our lives would reflect the love and the Savior who lives within us. And let us pray. Gracious God, we are thankful for you. Lord, we are thankful that you are always calling us to come closer. You are always calling us to a greater obedience. And God, it's not because you're controlling, but it's because you're loving. You want us to live and to have the best lives possible. And you want the people around us to see you living within us so that they too can have the best life possible. And so help us in all of this, dear God, to have a deep faith in our heart. Jesus Christ is Lord. But to also help us to have that faith simply pour out of us in faith and obedience to you. Thank you, Jesus. And it's in all of this we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, everybody. Remember this week, keep Vacation Bible School in your prayers, and we'll see you next Sunday.